How many know church is a good thing? How many know Jesus created the church? How many know Jesus desires us to be part of the church? Amen. And so I struggle with those that can say I can watch it on TV. Amen. There's nothing like being with God's people. That's what it's meant to be. It's not a virtual church. Amen. It is a church where we gather together in his name. And so I just encourage you, if you've gotten the habit of watching online, we encourage you to go to church, whether our church, some church, be in church with God's people. Amen. That's a commercial. Amen. We've been talking about vision. And a vision is a necessity for the health and growth of any organization. And we talked about the scripture last week, people perish when there is no vision. And so we are going to present a vision for our church. We talked about the vision. The mission is what? The Great Commission. And the vision is how we do the Great Commission. And so the vision gives legs to the mission. And so a vision is basically a snapshot of the future. It is a destination. It is something that doesn't exist in the present. How many know that? Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance or evidence of those things that we do not see. And so that's what vision does. It allows us to see into the future and become a reality for us eventually. It's not a reality for us here today, but it will be as we walk and fulfill the vision that God has given to our church. But the danger in visioneering is allowing the vision of tomorrow to rob you of today, because Jesus wants you engaged now. How many know that? He wants you to be involved in his church today. If we're always looking ahead, we may miss what God, is wanting to do in you today. So we're going to dream and plan for the future, but we want to be actively working in the church today. Jesus shared with his disciples about the future of his church and about the restoration of Israel. And so how many know that sometimes we are always looking down the road for the next thing? How many know that sometimes we need to just stop and see what's going on around us today? You see, Jesus said it would come in time. The restoration of Israel, how many know it's going to be a while off? How many know it's been over 2,000 years before that promise becomes a fulfillment for the people of Israel? It would come in time, Jesus said. God's time, not our time. And so Jesus reminded them to live in the moment. And so we're going to go to Acts chapter 1 here this morning. And this is a scripture we read on Pentecost Sunday all the time. But I'm not focusing on the Holy Spirit here this morning, but I'm going to focus on living and enjoying the moment that we're living in right now. So Acts chapter 1, starting with verse 1. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach, until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." I just want to kind of emphasize and bracket here that we're talking about the present. He's saying, I want you guys just to stay here to hang out because something good is about to happen. Then they gathered around him, the disciples gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" And this is what Jesus said, and this is what we're going to focus on. He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So if we look at that verse 7, we can kind of see it here this morning that we can maybe look at it as a rebuke from Jesus. He is just saying, I'm going about to give you a wonderful gift from heaven. I want you to just sit here. I want you to wait for it because it's coming soon. But where is their mind? Their mind is on the kingdom to come. Their mind is on the exaltation of Israel being restored. And so I just want to say to you here this morning that sometimes we can find ourselves in the same boat, that we can be so busy about what, looking down the road to what God may possibly do, that we don't enjoy the moment. We don't see what God is doing at the moment. And so today, I want you to see what I see here today, that we need to live in the moment. In the kingdom of God, there is no fast-forwarding, rewinding, or pausing. How many know that? We cannot do that. You see, the disciples were fast-forwarding here. Jesus said, I have a promise. You're going to receive the Holy Spirit. And what are they looking for? The restoration. They want to see what Israel restored as a world power. That's where they're fast-forwarding to. We don't rewind either. Paul said, what are we supposed to do? We are to forget those things, what? Behind, and press on to what God is doing. And we need to realize that Paul is not talking about negative things. He was talking about all his accomplishments. He was talking about him being a Pharisee, him being a son of the tribe of Benjamin, and all the things that he accomplished. He said, I forget about those things. He said, I'm not going to rewind. Those things are in the past. He said, I'm looking for the now. Sometimes we like to pause. How many like to experience the presence of God, right? We all do. We love when the Spirit of God moves. If you remember, the disciples went up on the mountain with Jesus to the Mount of Transfiguration. There is James, John, and Peter. They were there. The glory came down. Elijah and Moses showed up talking with Jesus. He was glorified. Woo, could you imagine that? And what was Peter's response? Hey, let's build a tabernacle for each one of them, and let's hang out here for a while. And you know what God said from heaven? Can I paraphrase? Shut up, Peter. Shut up, Peter, and listen to my son. Basically is what he said. Peter was wanting to enjoy that experience. He didn't know what he was talking about. But he wanted to enjoy that. He wanted to pause that moment. How many times have we wanted to pause a movement of God? So we're guilty sometimes of fast-forwarding, rewinding, and pausing. But how many know the kingdom of God keeps moving on? It keeps marching on. Sometimes we can give in to the devil. We can give place to the devil. How many times we give the devil too much credit? How many know sometimes it's just us? No amens on that one. Hallelujah. There's some shaking of heads, yes. But we can give place to the devil. We can give place to our flesh. And there are times we get stressed out and discouraged because things aren't unfolding as we desire, on the timeline that we desire. But how many know that life is a process? Isaiah wrote something like this, line upon line, precept upon precept, right? Here a little, there a little. You know, we want to what? We want to download. We want to throw everything in the Dropbox or the, you know, just dump it. That's what we want to experience. But how many know it's not like that? It's little by little. God is building his house. We have to build the foundation, church, before we can build the house. So this week, I don't know about if you had some weeks that you wish you kind of could just kind of fast forward through. This was kind of one of those weeks for me where you just kind of feel overwhelmed. How many have ever been overwhelmed, right, with all the different things going on in your life? You know, at my house, Karen said, stop looking out the back window. I look at my yard. We've done a lot of work in our backyard, but all I can see is not what we accomplished, but what we didn't accomplish. And you know, walking around the church, we kind of said, let's do this, this, and this, and let's set a timetable for it. And of course, they don't get done. And so sometimes you can just kind of allow things just to kind of shut you down a little bit, overwhelm you, maybe even discourage you a little bit. Sometimes we have a lot of irons in the fire, too many irons in the fire. And there are a lot of things that I wanted to have done by now, but they didn't get done. And how many know that unscheduled things can distract from our plans? I don't know about you, but Karen and I are list people. You'll see lists on my desk. You'll see lists around our house. And, you know, we kind of try to at least try to prioritize some things that we want to do for that day. But how many know sometimes nothing gets done on that list? Amen. Karen's the type of person, if she didn't get anything done on her list, she writes something on there she did do that day, and then she marks it off. Amen. Something got done. Amen. That's encouraging, right? That's being positive, I guess. But sometimes we forget that the unscheduled things can be more important than the scheduled things. How many know that? How many of the interruptions in our day and our plan and our schedule are sometimes divine intervention? They are divine moments that God brings into our life. Maybe it's just meeting with somebody or talking with someone. This week I had a lot of people I've talked to. And, you know, it's just one of those weeks. And it's unplanned. And you don't get done what you want to get done, but how many know that things got done anyway? And it was God's plan. So it's okay. That's the reality of it. And sometimes we just need to stand back and just breathe and say, it's okay. Okay. Flexibility is not my middle name. Amen. Hallelujah. Chris, I'm going to talk about you too. Both of us, we're kind of people that like to do things when we plan them. And how many of you know we're married, right? To two women, all right, that can go with the flow, all right, can turn on a dime, all right? And when things don't go out as we line them, they're kind of like, that's okay, it's all right. But we kind of get upset. You get upset, Chris? Yeah, we get upset. All right, we're kind of... But God gave us two women to kind of help us out along the line here. And so, flexibility. Following Jesus takes flexibility. Even when we're creating a vision for our church, how many know that there are going to be some things that we present that we'll never even see happen? We need to be flexible because God has a plan. God has something that will unfold. There will be unexpected things that come in our way, and maybe we want to do them a certain way, and they're going to happen another way. Maybe there's going to be people that come along that we didn't even expect would even do things that we didn't know they were going to do. Good things. And we're going to go with the flow. So live for today and make plans for tomorrow. It's okay to make plans for tomorrow as long as those plans don't control tomorrow or even today. I'm glad God holds time in his hands. You know, God's not fretting up in heaven because we didn't accomplish something today. He knew it. He knew it ahead of time. And sometimes he's the one that interrupted your schedule because he wanted his schedule to be done. So even though we're casting a vision for tomorrow, let each day unfold with the mindset we live in the moment. Ecclesiastes 3, Solomon wrote, there is a what? Season. Right? There, for everything there is a season. And sometimes we try to plan out those seasons, but how many know that you're living in a season right now, some of you, that you didn't even plan. And you wish that season would have skipped over you. You wish you weren't in that season, but you are. Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus often addressed living in the moment. He said in Matthew 6:34, therefore, do not worry about what? Tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day, or let's say today, has enough trouble of its own. So Jesus is encouraging them, even in his sermons, hey, it's okay. It's okay. Don't worry about tomorrow. Live for today. He didn't say, don't plan for tomorrow. How many know we need some plans? But he said, don't worry about tomorrow. So that's a big difference. And that's kind of where I find myself sometimes, worrying about tomorrow when I have enough on my plate today. And so I got to come back to that place that I got to live in the moment. Do what I can today and let tomorrow take care of itself as it comes. Matthew 6:11, also, this is Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. And he said, give us today our daily bread. Give us our daily bread. And if you're familiar with the Old Testament, Exodus, when God provided manna in the wilderness for his children, he set a couple rules. He said, this is what you collect. And if you do that, or if you don't even collect that, he said, you will not lack. But he said, if you do what? If you're going to be greedy, right? And if you're going to hoard, guess what? It's not going to be good. And what they found out was some didn't collect enough, some collected enough, some collected too much. And what happened the next day? It was full of worms, right? It stunk. Amen. Amen. And so he's saying here, give us today our daily bread. God said he will see you through today. There's only so much you can take. There's only so much you can do in a given day. And God knows what you can handle. Sometimes we question that. Sometimes we look in the midst of our circumstance, Lord, what are you doing? I don't understand it. I can't take anymore. And how many know sometimes a little more is put on your plate? Because the Bible says he what? Doesn't give you more than he handles. And he said he will give you what? An escape, right? He'll give you the ability to handle whatever he brings your way. We also read in Hebrews chapter 13, 8 that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So Jesus is the same yesterday, he's the same today, and he'll be the same tomorrow. So let's just put every day in his hands. Amen? Do the best we can. Live in the moment. And not fret about the past or the future. So James comes along in chapter 4, and he talks about vision. We don't look at this as vision, but he's talking about the future, our plans. How many know that sometimes our plans don't happen the way we think they are going to happen? Or they don't happen at all? Amen? But it says in James chapter 4, verse 13, he said, now listen. This is my mom's, one of her favorite phrases, that when she wants you to hear what she's going to say, she says, now listen. All right? And so when my mom says, now listen, we all kind of perk up, we pay attention to hear what she has to say. So Mary says, now listen. You who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city and spend a year there carrying on business and make money. Why do you not even know what a year, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow? What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then it vanishes. That's kind of encouraging, isn't it? Just makes you feel important, doesn't it? You're a nobody. Verse 15. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. And it is you. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. You know, I read that verse 17 and it's like, I couldn't even correlate it to the verses before that. All right? How many of you ever read a scripture and then all of a sudden there's a scripture and you're like, what does that have to do with the verses above it? And so I had to look it up. So what we're talking about here is the sin of omission here in this scripture here. And in our arrogance, he's saying don't plan tomorrow without knowing or submitting to the will of God. How often we plan, and we're determined we're going to go do that. But what he's saying here is do what you need to do today. Do what you need to do here today. You see, James was talking about vision, going somewhere and doing this and spending a year doing this or that. We're talking about spending 3 years, what? Fulfilling a vision. But how many know a vision is God-led? It should be God-led. A vision is flexible. Even though we're inflexible, verse 15, we are to be flexible. God is looking for our obedience, not our plans. How many know that? Amen? We are co-laborers with Jesus, right? Who's the head of the church? Jesus, right? We are working, we are partners with Jesus Christ. You've heard that old adage, and you've probably read it on church signs. If you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. Amen. Hallelujah. Tell him your plans. Praise God. Luke 22. Jesus is explaining to his disciples in the upper room what is about to happen. And we already celebrated it today, the Last Supper, the communion. And he has just explained to them that my body is going to be broken. He's saying, I'm going to die. My blood's going to be shed. And so we pick up on this story here. And Jesus says, but the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed. But woe to that man who betrays him. They began to question among themselves which of them it might be who would do this. And so that's kind of a natural response, right? I'm nosy. I'd want to know who it is. And I know you'd want to know who it is too. But it goes to verse 24 and it kind of changes here. And it says, a dispute also arose among them as to which of them was considered to be the greatest. From trying to figure out who was going to betray Jesus to, hey guys, I'm good. I'm better than you. This holy moment was hijacked. Could you imagine? I don't know how much Jesus knew ahead of time, but he's probably just shaking his head. God help me. Puts his head on the table, right? God help me. As he's dealing with these disciples. The holy moment is broken by selfish ambition and motives and arrogance. He's talking about dying, and they're talking about, hey guys, come on. And this is a phrase I want you to hear. It says, we can miss out on the present holy moments that God has prepared for us by focusing on the glories of the past or the desires for future spiritual experiences. It's a pretty good quote if you get it. I wrote it. Amen. I'm the greatest, right? Let me read that again. We can miss out on the present holy moments that God has prepared for us by focusing on the glories of the past or the desire for future spiritual experiences. Amen. Last week we talked about in John 6:63, it is the Spirit who gives life, and what the flesh profits nothing. God is wanting to do something in us without profiting our flesh. You know, people will leave church and somebody will say, how was church? Some will say, oh, it was great. Maybe it was good. Others may say, it was okay. Others will say, boring. Amen? But the truth is, maybe God's not interested in making you happy, but making you holy. I made that one too. Under the inspiration. All right. So we can miss out on the present holy moments that God has prepared for us by focusing on the glories of the past. Man, we've all been in some great services where God moved. And man, we just wish we could kind of relive those things again. Or the desire for God. Oh God, you know, we want something more than what we got now. God, we want to experience this. Folks, let's live in the moment. Let's open up our eyes and begin to be thankful for what God is doing even now. That God is just still laying a foundation in what he wants to do if we will submit to him. Let's not get robbed by wishful thinking. Hallelujah. You know, we all have regrets, and regrets are a form of slavery that robs you of present joys. I made that one up too. Hallelujah. We all have regrets. There are decisions we make. There are things that we did in the past that, man, we wish we could just erase and not have to think about them. But how many know we don't have to think about them? How many know that God has redeemed us? And how many know that some of the things that we thought we should have done are probably not what God wanted you to do anyway? And that he actually protected you and was guiding you. Amen? Think about what I'm saying. We all have regrets. And sometimes those regrets come knocking on our door. And today we can either invite them in and we can entertain them, put them up to the table and feed them and just kind of dialogue. If that's what you want to do, you can live with that. I have a family member that once they start the pity party, man, it becomes bigger and bigger and bigger. But this morning we can begin to shut those things out. We can say, no, thank you. Shut the door on it. Because we have chosen to live in the moment. There's a line in an oldie song that kind of pops in my head now and then. And I don't even know if I was old enough to know the song. But Stephen Stills wrote a line in his song. And it was a quote from Billy Preston, who was also a musician. And he said, if you can't be with the one you love, love the ones you're with, right? Love the one you're with, all right? And this song is talking, I don't know if it's a good song or not. So it's one of those 60 love songs, right? Yeah. Don't get too happy, Nancy. All right. If you know her past, amen. Right, Paul? If you want to know more, talk to them. Amen. Hallelujah. Anyway, the song speaks of a conscious choice, right? If we can't be with those, right, we want to enjoy those that you're with. And that's the kind of what I'm presenting here today. You know, if we're not experiencing those things in our mind that we think we should, hey, look at this moment, what God is doing now, who we're with, and just rejoice in that and enjoy that. I can think of many examples when I wished I could experience something again. There are many times that I do. Just like many of you, I have a vision of what I think I would like my church to be. But the truth is, I can't go back. I can't go back and experience those things in the past. It's called nostalgia. And the thing is we always remember the good, but we forget the bad. And how many days there is no such thing as the good old days? There isn't, because you have forgotten the bad. And we can't go forward. We can't, right? It's in the future. It hasn't happened yet. But the one choice I can make here this morning is I can live in this moment. I can enjoy this church. I can enjoy this body of believers. I can rejoice in what God is doing. See, most of you don't know what's happening in our church. You're not tuned into what's happening maybe on a Tuesday night. Many of you have no idea how many kids and youth are coming on a Tuesday night. It's enough to get you excited. Some of you need to show up on a Tuesday to see what God is doing. We're having a water baptism. We have teenagers, I know, and we have kids that are wanting to get baptized because they have made a decision to follow Jesus Christ. Let's live in that moment. Let's enjoy this, because this is what the church is all about. Psalm 118, 24, you know this. This is the day. Today is the day which the Lord has made, and we will what? Rejoice and be glad in it. If we're going to always look in the past, if we're always going to look to the future, we're not going to be happy today. Enjoy the moment. Yes, we're going to present a vision. Yes, we want to see some things happen. But we're not there. We're here. And I'm going to enjoy the moment. I'm enjoying, appreciate Pastor Whitney. I appreciate Lauren and the staff that God has given. I can't take credit for Pastor Whitney. You hired her. I don't think I could have picked anybody better. Amen. Amen. I did pick Lauren. I did hire her, Lauren. And she is a blessing. And she was a surprise because we didn't even have her in mind when God brought her along. And she's been a blessing to this church. Our today will not be sacrificed on the altar of the future. I made that one up too. Our today will not be sacrificed on the altar of our vision, on the altar of our future. Let's live for today. Let's enjoy today. And if you're not getting any joy out of our church or enjoyment or you're not thinking we're doing anything, come and get involved. There are a lot of opportunities. There's been people that have stepped up and have started new ministries, and that's exciting. That's what we want to see. That's what we want to see happen from you guys. Some of you are sitting on ministries yet to be birthed. So, we will be setting some goals and some timetables. If we reach them, one of our core values is to celebrate. One of the things we're going to begin to celebrate them, make you known on Sunday mornings. We're going to tell you what God is doing in our church. If we don't reach them on time, these goals that we have, we're going to recalibrate and we're going to keep moving forward. Today is a great day to be alive. Yeah. It is. God is doing some amazing things through some incredible people. And we are thankful for those that have stepped up and are participating in this body of believers. Today, this is the day that God has made. And we will rejoice in it and we will be glad. So, Pastor Whitney, if you'll come. We're talking about living in the moment. I'm talking about the vision of the church. But take it to a personal level here today. These are some of the things that we're wrestling with. These are some of the things that as the board and the vision team and the staff, we're wanting for some things to happen. We're putting forward a vision. Well, what about you personally here today? Maybe you're in a place here today that you need to move on from the past. If we're still wrestling with things from 5 to 10 years ago, you've become a slave. But if you're in this moment and there's just something that's happened recently, yes, it's part of the moment. Does God want you to stay there? No. But there's healing in the moment. Some people need to be healed from the past. Some people just need to let go. People have hurt you. Maybe the church has hurt you. Whatever it is here today, you need to let go. Because you are a slave to that. How do you know there's a slave? How many of you remembered something that somebody did to you and your emotions just go crazy? There's some things that have happened or some teachers have said some rude things or whatever. You know, with a name like Farkas. I mean, there's a lot of setup there. You can use your mind on some of that. But when you have a teacher making fun of you in front of the class, you know, it sounds silly, but as a kid in elementary school that was burned in my mind, in my heart. And it was like, Lord, I gotta just let that little stupid words go. But it's what the devil uses, isn't it? He uses those little goofy things in our life just to kind of hinder us. I think his name was Mr. Tittle. And I was thinking, And he had the nerve to make fun of my name. God help us. But some of us need to move on from the past. I encourage some of you, yes, live in the moment. You're going to go through some things. There's heartaches, pains. I know there's lost. We have a number of people just in the last couple of years have lost loved ones. That doesn't just go away. We just don't suck it up and move on. It's a big part of us. Part of us has been ripped out. Part of us need to be healed. But there's also those that plan for the future that are living for the tomorrow. We don't know what tomorrow has in store. I don't even know what God has in store for us. I'm open to it. I mean, we can do our part, but guess what? We can't manipulate it into happening. But if we're living in the moment, walking with Jesus, he's going to get us there. Yeah, we're going to make some plans, but we're going to be flexible. We're going to let him do what he wants to do with whoever he wants to. That's why at prayer time, I have you guys praying for people. God is using you in certain areas that he's not using me in. Right? If God's using you in the area of healing, I want you to lay hands on people when we pray for people. The pastor doesn't have the market on the gifts. I guess I better be quiet. But I encourage you here this morning to live in the moment. Maybe you're here today and you need to move on from the past. Maybe today you need to make a declaration, move, come up and just say, Jesus, I'm laying this on the altar. Or I'm nailing this to the cross. And when I walk out, I'm not picking it back up. It's over. It's done. Maybe you're here. Maybe this morning you're living in a moment where, man, just seems like your world's crashing in. And, man, you just want someone to love on you, to pray for you, encourage you. We invite you to come forward. Or maybe you're looking down the road and you're thinking, this church is dead. Nothing's happening here. God should be doing this. This should be happening. Folks, there's a lot of things in my mind I want to see happen. But I'm not going to live there because it hasn't happened. I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to seek God on it. But if it doesn't happen the way I want it to, it's okay. It's okay.